Ivy League professor calls God a racist after the Zimmerman verdict. That's what we're going to be talking about on this Wednesday, July the 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. And if you'd like to phone in with some comments on this particular situation, then don't hesitate to do so. Numbers are 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. 821-0850. But anywhere in North America, long distance, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Yes, received this from one of my listeners. And today being Insight Wednesday, we like to look at topics and then try and figure out how would the church respond to this? How would God look at this? Well, let me read a portion of this item that I received from one of our listeners. An Ivy League professor blogged after George Zimmerman was found not guilty of murdering Trayvon Martin that the verdict shows God is a white racist who stalks young black men. Written by Anthea Butler. She's an associate professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Department of Religious Studies. And she made these unusual comments in a blog post released on Monday on religiondispatches.org, where she is a regular contributor. Here's what she writes in the post. God ain't good all of the time. In fact, sometimes God is not for us. As a black woman in this nation that has taken too many pains to remind me that I am not a white man, and am not capable of taking care of my reproductive rights or my voting rights, I know that this American God ain't my God. As a matter of fact, I think he's a white racist God with a problem. More importantly, he is carrying a gun and stalking young black men. Now, she's supposed to be a historian of American and African-American religion. And it was kind of interesting that Joseph Ryan, editor-in-chief of Campus Reform, which first reported Butler's comments, said the professor's reaction to the verdict was bizarre. No amount of heartbreak over the Zimmerman acquittal justifies these hateful posts, said Josiah Ryan. Professor Butler's remarks were clearly designed to hurt when Americans needed healing, and to divide when we needed unity. In tumultuous times, students must be able to turn to their professors for calm and wisdom. But in stoking the flames of hatred, Professor Butler has betrayed her students' trust. You, Penn administrators, ought not to allow her back in the classroom. I'm sure that you're all aware of the verdict of Zimmerman as not guilty, but it has really shown something about how differently some people think about this than other people think. I'm not going to say that all the whites are on one side and all the blacks are on another, because that's not true. All you have to do is look at talk TV and you'll see people from both races are on both sides of the situation. But what I want to talk about is her view of God as being a racist. And God ain't good all of the time. I'm not sure what religion she is, but I guarantee you she was not brought up in Lutheranism. You see, in Lutheranism, we believe, teach, and confess what the Bible has to say, particularly about blessed are you. And so you're thinking that when Jesus has these beatitudes, he's going to finish, blessed are you when everything goes right in your life, when nobody attacks you, everybody loves you, you have plenty of money. But instead, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, you see, when a person attacks the God of the Bible, they're also attacking me. Because obviously God is not a racist. But you can see right away where this woman is coming from as she says, God ain't good all of the time. Apart from faith, those are the kind of commonsensical conclusions that somebody is going to rely on. Well, let's just forget about the Zimmerman case. Let's take a case where the person really was guilty, but he got off on, say, a technicality. Or the other way, where someone was found to be guilty of a serious crime of attacking someone, and he's been in jail for 20 years, and then they've done new DNA, which wasn't available 20 years ago, new DNA evidence, and they find him to be innocent, and he is let out of prison. Now, are we going to say in those two situations where a guilty man gets off on a technicality and an innocent man suffers, that leads us to the conclusion that God ain't good all of the time? No. God is good all of the time, but not in the sense of goodness that you and I speak of. For example, was it a good thing that an innocent man was executed? No, from a human point of view. But now let me change the scenario and tell you who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ on the cross. Was that a good thing? I'll tell you why Christians think it is a good thing. What do they call the day that event occurred? Good Friday. You see, with eyes of faith, trusting in the Word of God, you get to see a totally different kind of picture than does the person apart from faith. There is no way a Christian can say that God is not good all of the time, because he promises to work all things out to your good. We human beings, we think with our common sense. And what does that mean? Well, if it's not good according to our understanding of good, then God isn't good. But imagine the many, many things that happened. How about the dividing of the Red Sea? Was that good? Well, one might say yes, until you remember that the Red Sea came crashing down on the Egyptians who were fleeing after the Israelites after they had crossed on dry ground to get to the other side. Was that good for them? You see, once you start using human reasoning rather than God's word, now, how do we know it was good? Because all things are done according to the will of God. Now, some people are going to say, oh, so it was God's will that innocent people are executed and guilty people are let go free? No. He permits it. That's his will, but he doesn't cause it. What causes the sin in the world is the will of human beings that has fallen short of the glory of God. Now, every worship service should have a confession of sin. And the one I appreciate is a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That is also said by Christians filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the old Adam has manipulative ideas and is always sinful in its motivation. There's never a time that the old Adam is not sinful in its motivation. Now, if you'd like to talk about this, go ahead and phone at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we'll be glad to talk about any understanding that you might have about the Zimmerman case, or perhaps you've been following the case and you've got some questions from a theological point of view. We are dealing with the area of justice, and that's in the temporal realm. And so I, as a pastor, do not have all the answers. when we're talking about justice in the temporal realm. Because unless it's found in the Word of God, then I cannot say, thus saith the Lord. But there are commandments and God's will as found in the temporal realm. And in that sense, you can say, thus says the Lord God. And I don't have any problem with that at all. So, if you like to phone, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Rick. Rick, you're on. Hello.
You know, that lady hit it right on the head. Yes, because most of the time, God is just downright stupendous.
Well, I don't think she wasn't putting the dust part on. She was just saying stupid.
Yeah, I know. But God does two things. He gives and he loves. And when he's tired of doing one, he'll do the other. And he never gets tired of doing any of them, really.
God does two things.
He's one screwed up concept of who this mighty creator is. Lord God and Father.
Yes.
We know him by. But she has got a different point of view altogether. And seriously, doubt if she has ever met him at all.
She is thinking like what I like to talk about, a theologian of self-glory who looks at the experience and then decides what kind of God is there, rather than looking at the Word of God to see his promises. Do you agree with that, Rick?
Yes, sir.
Well, I sure appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And we're going to go on to the next caller then. And I think this is James. James, you're on.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to know if these passages indicate instances of divine retribution from a just God. And the passages are Isaiah 35, verses 4 and 5. And Obadiah, one of our favorites, Pastor.
Oh, boy, yeah. That's...
Obadiah 10, verses 10 through 15.
Okay.
Not Obadiah 10, Obadiah verses 10 through 15.
Yeah, because what you're saying is Obadiah is just one chapter?
Yes, yes. And I'd like to know if these passages in Isaiah and Obadiah are indicative of divine retribution from a just God. And I'll hang up and go back and listen.
Yeah, before I let you go, can you define what you mean by a retribution?
Mercy, how would I say it? Neglect of mercy. That when there's injustice and the neglect of mercy, is there divine retribution from a just God?
Okay.
From our just God.
All right. I understand what you're saying. Thanks very much. Yeah. And I'll take a look. Isaiah 35, why don't I just read, I think he said verses 4 and 5. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Now, these are people in bondage. Now, whether it's the Babylonian bondage or some other kind of bondage, they're in bondage. What does that say about us today? Because the Bible was written also for us, and it's all about Jesus. In verse 4, say to those who are fearful-hearted, and why are we fearful-hearted? We're not able to control our lives. We have great sin. We should go to hell. We don't know if we will. But behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come, and it doesn't say he will come and punish you. He will come and save you. Do you know when that event took place, when God came with great vengeance in order to save you? It was the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that. My God, why have you forsaken me? So what we have here is a situation, yes, the greatest vengeance God has is upon the devil and his work, in order that he might save you. And he saves you by the cross of Christ, which doesn't take away your sins. Just look in the mirror of the law. You're still a sinner. But it takes away the punishment you deserve for your sins. Now, Obadiah, one chapter long, verses 10 to 15. It's pretty long. I don't want to spend the whole time on that. But let me read at least verse 15. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. And I think verse 16 is good. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. This is really, Obadiah is a book about the coming judgment on Edom. Because Edom mistreated his brother Jacob. And because of that, God is going to bring upon them deserved temporal punishment. But you cannot read Obadiah without reading the final verses. And that begins with verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. So if you're asking about the retribution of the Lord, there's first of all no doubt a temporal retribution where we get the consequences of our sin. But then what's really beautiful here is that we are still having a merciful and gracious God. Merciful in that he does not give us what we deserve, and gracious, he gives us more than we deserve, namely the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. And it's quite interesting that in a lot of the books of the prophets, they sound really kind of retributive at the beginning, but then they move into also the gospel of salvation that God is going to bring upon his people. Remember, when they went to the promised land, God said everything would be fine unless they disobeyed and became unfaithful. So the temporal punishments they received are really part of the promises of God to his people for the purpose of bringing them back into the fold. It's the same kind of reasoning we have with excommunication. That's why I asked what you meant by retribution, James. If you think that excommunication is retribution by God, then he is a God of retribution. But he does the excommunication for the purpose of bringing you back into the Holy Christian Church. Let's go talk now to Jan in Atlanta. Jan?
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
I have a bunch of things going on in my head. And I have to admit that I did not hear the beginning of your program. But what I did hear made me think of Proverbs 19:3. The only way one can say that God ain't good all the time is if they don't know God. Proverbs 19:3 says...
Yeah, let me read it. For the foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord?
Yes. When you think that you are going to get justice in the temporal realm and it doesn't turn out that way, then you blame God.
You know, we talked about that this week. It's the same as what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. Where it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And so I think that follows with Proverbs 19, that there's actually a suppression of the truth that is within you because you get so angry at God.
Right. And I was thinking about Proverbs 29:26. Many seek the face of a ruler, but it is from the Lord that a man gets justice. God is good, and we are not, which should lead us always to repentance. But I think that people get the wrong impression about who God is because of the people of God. In Romans it says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. We Lutherans understand the tension between God's alien and his expressed or his, you know, the will that he prefers.
I'll give you a perfect example. Remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, the baby was going to die. And, you know, David prayed and prayed that it wouldn't. But as soon as it did die, he rejoiced that it was now with God and he would see it again when he also arose from the dead.
Yeah.
So that's exactly, I think, what you're saying here.
Yeah, we have no expectate. And, you know, the passage, blessed are you when people say all manner of evil against you falsely because of me. You know, when we are out of order, we expect God to cover us when he's told us that he chastens the sons that he loves. You know,
Hebrews 12.
And you know, do what you want and then turn back to God and say, well, why didn't you protect me? I know I was out of order.
Yeah. Yep,
no.
Yep.
So, and this is the final point. Our lives are our witness. And when we aspire to live quietly and to work with our own hands so that we can walk properly before outsiders, that's not assuming that all things are going to ameliorate our walk. We follow Christ. And when it's difficult or controversial, that's where our opportunity to witness.
And people will ask us, because of the kind of attitude we have, which is so diametrically opposed to common sense, why do you feel that way? I mean, how can you Christians in the midst of suffering still rejoice in the Lord? And you're saying that gives us the opportunity to share that message.
Yeah. You know, he's enthroned on our praises. And that is not to say that we should not be angry about sin and injustice. But what's the second part of that passage in James? But do not sin.
Yes.
We have to trust an all-powerful, a just, a merciful, gracious God to give us the justice that we seek.
So we really have an opportunity when people are going through a tough time and things aren't going the way they think they should be going. We're often seeing that they're doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did. They blame God. Adam says, the woman you gave to me. You know, if you hadn't given it to me, we'd be fine. And Eve says, the serpent you put in the garden. You know, that's what causes the problem. And it's so hard to take personal responsibility. And that's what repentance is taking personal responsibility and then having the faith that God in Christ is going to take care of us.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, thank you so very much for calling. All right. We're not going to be taking any more calls right now. We're at the near the end of our broadcast, less than about a minute and a half. Tomorrow, we're going to have Wes Reimnitz in with us. And this document from the CTCR, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Commission on Theology and Church Relations, on natural knowledge of God. There is so much. In fact, I was just talking to someone in California last night and encouraged them to purchase it. You can purchase that book from Concordia Publishing House. Are you ready for the price? $2. That's it. $2 to get The Natural Knowledge of God, a recent CTCR document. And I'll even give you the number for Concordia Publishing House. It's an 800 number. You can call from anywhere. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. But if you're overseas, you can't use the 800 number, just go to the internet, cph.org, And in the search area, you know, put down the natural knowledge of God. And hopefully they'll be able to send it to you without too much postage. But it's an excellent book. And Wes Reimnitz and I are going to be continuing to talk about that. We've talked about it about on three programs and just Tuesday with Mark Smith. But there are so much interesting items in there. The thing I want you to be thinking about is the Nuremberg trials. I want to talk about that tomorrow. On what grounds were they able to get people to be guilty of crimes when, in reality, they were just following the laws of the land? It's something that is going to be very helpful in our understanding of what this document is talking about. If you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. That's my email address for you folks. And we also have a website up where you can get a number of materials from a Law Gospel point of view at lawgospel.com. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.